The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Voschanan. In Parshas Voschanan is the Shema Yisrael and the Ve'afteis Hashem Elokecho. And that's at Shishi, that's at Torim Vov, Posuk Dalet Vehei. One of the psukim that is mentioned in the Shema is Vishinantum Levonecho V'dibarto Bom, that you shall teach your children and you shall speak to them. V'shivtecho V'secho V'lechtecho V'aderech V'shochbecho V'kumecho. When you sit in your houses, when you walk on your ways, when you lay down and when you get up. From this pasuk we learn out a mitzvah of teaching, and the Sifri comments Rashi brings doesn't only mean your children, but Elu Atalmidim, but it refers to disciples. And it says a mitzvah on every person who's capable to teach Torah to disciples. And also we learn out, this is one of the sources that the Chazal bring for the mitzvah of learning yourself, that a teaching yourself. That a person has an obligation to study Torah. Now, we all know that this obligation, this mitzvah of studying Torah, takes a very, very high precedence amongst all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. For example, the Rambam, in his Hilchos Talmud Torah, he quotes the Chazals, the sages. He brings, for example, in Perigimel, Bishleshik Sorim Nichtur Yisrael, that Yisrael were given three crowns, Keseter, Kesekunav, Keser Malchus, the crown of Torah, crown of priesthood, and the crown of kingship. And the crown of priesthood went only to Aaron and his sons, and the crown of kingship went only to David, King David, and his sons. The crown of Torah is Munach Ve'emeiremuchan Lachol Yisrael, is set before all of Israel. As it states, Torah Tzivalona Meshe Mereshe Kihilish Yaakov. The Torah, Meshe commanded us, and it's an inheritance to all of the congregations of Yaakov. Kol Mishi Yitzi Yava V'yitol, whoever wants, let him come and take. And then, the sages tell us, that even though the other two crowns are exclusive, you shouldn't think they are greater than the crown of Torah. But to the contrary, the crown of Torah is greater than the other two crowns together. It is the greatest crown that was given to Klal Yisrael. Another example of this is Tchilas Dina Shel Adam Ein Anida Ein Alar Al Talmud V'Achar Kach Al Shar Maisuv. When a person comes to the next world and they're going to ask him, what did he do in this world? The first question they're going to ask him is, Kavata B'Torah, Osakta B'Torah, did you study Torah? This will be the first question, this will be his first test. And only Achar Kach, only afterwards will they discuss with him what else he did. But the main concern of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, and his Bez Dinai, his holy court, is how much Torah did you learn in this world? Or another example, Le'olam HaTalmud Kodim, Shehatalmud Mevi L'idei Maaso. The Talmud always gets priority. Now, there are some times when we cannot give it priority. We'll come to that soon. But generally, the sages tell us, Le'elam HaTalmud Kodim, Talmud always gets priority, even over deeds. And it is through Talmud that a person will come to deeds. If he will not study Torah, then he will not be a Bal Maisa. He will not come to fulfill mitzvahs and to fulfill good deeds. In Perek Aleph, in the first chapter, the Rambam quotes the Gemara, is Kol Ish Misrael Chayiv B'Talmud Torah, every man, this is an obligation on every man of Israel, Beinoni Bein Osher, whether he is poor, whether he is wealthy, Bein Shalom Megufa Bein Bal Yisurin, whether he is healthy, or whether he is afflicted, Bein Bochor, Bein Shoye Zokin Gorl Shetosh Keche, whether he's a young man, in his and has his youthly vigor, or he's a very old man who's already physically weakened. Afilo hoyo oni hamispanes min hatzdoko umachzel al apsochim. Even if he's so poor that he has to go from house to house and ask for charity, or even if he has a wife and many children to support, he has to set aside time for Torah during the day and night, as it states, v'gisa b'yayim b'malayla. This is a mitzvah that we must fulfill every day and every night. And then the Rambam says, G'dele chachmi Yisrael hayomehen chait ve'etzim. Amongst the great sages of the world, they were balei melacha. Many were workers. Some were woodchoppers. Mehen shevi mayim. Some were water drawers. Mehen sumim. There's Rabbi Yosef in the Gemara that was blind. He was afflicted. Afal pikein haya oskin b'talmud Torah b'yema b'layla. And nevertheless, they spent their days and nights studying Torah. And they were bechlal matig hashmu ish mipi ish mipi meisa rabbeinu. They are the ones who were responsible in bringing Torah to us, generation to generation, from Meisha Rabbeinu, from Moses. Until when is a person obligated to study Torah? Ad yom moso, until the day of his death. As it states, ufen yosura melevavcho kol yemei hayecho, that you shall not forget this Torah all the days of your life. Because man shela yasik belimud hu shecherach. And whenever a person will stop studying, he immediately will start to forget. So we see from these few statements the high priority that the study of Torah has, that besides being one of the Taryag mitzvahs, the 613 mitzvahs, and the Chinuch, I believe, brings it from, when he lists his 613 mitzvahs, he brings it from this pasuk, if I'm not mistaken, in this parsha. Besides being one of the 613 mitzvahs, but it serves as from the greatest, very greatest mitzvahs, and as a foundation for all of the other mitzvahs. What I would like to do this evening is spend a little time to try to find out why. Why is it that the study of Torah is given so much priority in Jewish life? And we know, historically speaking, throughout the generations, there was always a great priority placed on the study of Torah and on the yeshivas, which were set aside for this study of Torah. Why should it take such a great priority? In order to understand this, we have to understand just what is Torah. What is this Torah that we spend so much time talking about, studying, delving into, meditating in? The Maral brings in his Nesivos Olam, in the early chapters, the beginning and the early chapters of the Nesiv HaTorah, that even though Torah is a very, very great wisdom, it's the greatest of all of the wisdoms. We have a pasuk in this week's Seder, Kihi chachmaschem ubinaschem bein hagoyim. This is your wisdom and your understanding amongst the nations. And even though the Torah is a great ideology, and it's a great philosophy, and it's an enormous intellectual undertaking, this is all true. But this is not what Torah is. We see that Torah is far more and far different than all other wisdoms and all other knowledges and all other ideologies. We see that Torah is what he refers to as the Seder HaOlam. It encompasses the order of the entire world. And not only does it encompass the order of this world, the order of the next world also. Where's the source for this? The source for this is in the beginning, at the creation of the world, in Bereshis and Medrash Rabbah, where the Torah exclaims, "Be histakel ubora alma." The Torah declares The HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into me, and then he created the world. Gemara tells us in Perek Reb Akiva and Masechet Shabbos that the Almighty created the Torah over 900 generations before the creation of the world. And when he came to create the world, he looked into the Torah and used it as an architectural blueprint which would guide him in the creation of the world. So we see it's not just an ideology, and it's not just an academic exercise, and it's not just a wisdom, but it's a Seder HaOlam. It encompasses everything that the world has. Because if an engineer builds a building, and he builds it according to plan, like a good engineer would, it's impossible there should be something in the building that was not in the plan. And since the Torah was the plan of the worlds, then it's impossible that there should be something in the world that was not in the Torah. And that's why the Chazal tell us, the sages tell us in Masechet Oves, right near the end of Masechet Oves, Hafeich bo v'hafeich bo dekula bo. Turn it over and turn it over, for it contains everything. The sages express this many times. For example, they express, there is nothing that you can find in the world if it's a truth. If it's a falsity, then it's fiction. You won't find it in the Torah. But there is no truth that can exist that cannot be linked to some source, to some root in the Torah. We just have to be wise enough to delve into it and to understand it. And therefore, hafeichba v'hafeichba dekulebo, an entire life, a person must constantly search and search in the Torah, because it contains everything. Now from this, we understand another Gemara, which is also in Perek Reb Akiva in Masechet Shabbos, that when the Almighty created the world, he worked 1 day and 2 days and 3 days, 6 days he worked. At the end of the sixth day, the world was finished and he was going to rest. But on that sixth day, he made a condition. Every day it says Yom Echod, Yom Sheni, first day, day one, day two. Sixth day it says Yom Hashishi, the sixth day. He made a condition. Tonight he's not Kodesh Baruch Hu Rimaisa Breishis. He said the sixth day of creation will be linked to another sixth day, the sixth day of Sivan, of the Hebrew month Sivan. And that day, many generations later, Israel, the nation of Israel, will be standing at the foot of Har Sinai, the Mount Sinai. And they will be offered the Torah. If they will accept it, then the creation will remain. If they will not accept it, then the world will return to what it was before creation, v'ha'olam ha'isa tohu v'vohu, which was nothingness and void. That's why it states Yom HaShishi, that he linked the sixth day of creation with the sixth day of Sivan, which was the giving of the Torah. And why? And this is evident now. A building has to be made in accordance to plan. The world also has to be made in accordance to plan. And if all of the principles of the world, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, wanted the world, was in accordance to the plan of the Torah, then Torah had to come into the world. It had to be revealed to the world. There had to be that individual that would go up to Har Sinai and accept the Torah. There would have to be that nation that would accept it. And there would have to be that nation who would assume responsibility for it, be willing to study it, and to teach it, and to live by it, and to die by it, and to be ready to give their lives for it. If there was this Torah in the world, then the world is in accordance to plan. If not, then it's not the world that he created. And therefore the creation will be annulled. There's another Gemara in Masechta Erevin, and Daf Nun Dalet Omer Aleph. Ilan, can you give me a Sefer Mishlei, please? The Gemara says, Omer Reb Shua ben Levi. Reb Shua ben Levi said, Hamahalek v'derech ve'ein imay levaya. If a person is traveling, he's traveling in the country, he's leaving the cities, and he has no one to escort him. The sages emphasize in many places it's very important for a person to have an escort. He shouldn't travel alone. Because kol ha'drochim b'cheskes sakona, journeys, travel is dangerous. The sages tell us. One of the places we learn this from is by Yaakov, by Jacob. When his sons came back from Mitzrayim, from Egypt, and they said that the king there wants Binyamin, you should send Binyamin down. And he was afraid to send Binyamin because he said Pen Tikrenu on Oson, because perhaps lest an accident would happen on the way. And the sages say, well, an accident can happen at home also. But he knew that there was a greater likelihood of danger when a person is traveling than when he's at home in the city. And the reason for this is because there's a greater protection, a greater physical and spiritual protection over civilized areas. When you leave civilized areas and you go into uncivilized areas, places where people do not live, deep into the country, there is less physical and spiritual protection. And therefore a person has to be careful. That's the reason why the Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos that when you go on a journey, there's a special tefillah, a special prayer that you must ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you a special guardianship, tefillas haderech. And therefore a person, whenever he's traveling, it's best he should travel together with people. Because if you're with people, you're still connected to civilization. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shuvan Levi says, what happens if you're traveling and you have no escort? What should you do? Yasek b'Torah. Then as you're traveling, you should study Torah. Shinamar, because there's a pasuk in Mishlei Aleph, pasuk Tes, that states, Ki livias chein heim l'reishecho va'anokim l'gagreishecho. Now this means that the Torah is like a wreath around your head, and it's like a chain for your throat. So the simple sense means that it's an ornament. It's an ornament of jewelry for you. Here the Gemara darshins, the Gemara expounds, Ki livias chein heim l'reishecho, from the word levaya. It will be an escort for you. Torah will be an escort for you. And therefore, if you have no one to travel with, Yasuk v'Torah, study Torah on the way, and you will have an escort. What is the interpretation of this? So the Maral says, according to what we said, it's very simple. A person must attach himself to be part of the world. He was created to be part of the world. And therefore, if he isolates himself, that's a situation of danger. So he should try to be with people or in settled areas. If he attaches himself to Torah, then there cannot be any greater society than that. If he's attached to Torah, how can he be isolated? When Torah is the source of all civilization, Torah is the source of the entire world, of the entire society. So therefore, Yasuk b'Torah. Then the Gemara tells us, Chash b'roshay, what happens if a person has a headache? Yasuk b'Torah. He should study Torah and it'll get better. Shenemar ki livyas chein heim l'reishecha. It states that it's a wreath around your head. Chash b'greinay, what happens if he has an ailment in his throat? Yasik b'Torah. Then he should study Torah. As it states, v'anokim l'gagreishecha. It will be a chain around his throat. And the Gemara continues. Chash b'meyav yasik b'Torah. If he has stomach problems, he should study Torah. It brings a pasuk on it. If he has a problem in other parts, aches and pains, he should study Torah. Chash b'chol gufay, if his entire body is not well, he should study Torah. As it states in Mishlei, ulechol besorei marpa. It's another pasuk in Mishlei Dalid, where it states, ulechol besorei marpa. The Torah will cure a person in his entirety. Ki chayim heim lemaitzeihem, ulechol besorei marpa. It is life to those who find it, and it will cure a person in his entirety. And then the Gemara says, Omer of Yehuda bar Chia, bo ure'e shalei kemidis ha-kodesh boch u'midis bosu v'dom. Come and see how different the Almighty is than a person who's a flesh and blood. Because if you go see a doctor and he'll give you medicine, it'll be good for some things, but it won't be good for other things. Every medicine has its side effects. So it'll be good for some things and not for the other. But by the Almighty, it's not like that. If he gives a sam chayim, if he gives a medicine of life, this is good for the entire person. As it states, lechol besorei marpe. It will cure the entire person. Now, this Gemara does not mean that if a person physically has something wrong with himself, he should not go to the doctor or he should not take care of that, but rather than study Torah. Because we are commanded, firstly, that we're supposed to guard our physical health. Actually, one of the psukim that we learn that a person has to guard his physical health, Ushmatim Yehidis Nafshisechem, is in this week's parsha. And we are always commanded that a person has to listen to the doctor. So this is not what the Gemara is referring to. But it's rather referring to a case where a person does try to put himself physically well. He's physically in balance. But still something's bothering him. He's not well. His throat is bothering him, or his head is bothering him, and he cannot seem to get it right. Then the sages say, study Torah, and it will cure you. Now, again, this goes with the same explanation. Because ailments and affliction comes from a person being off balance, from an imbalance in the individual. Physical ailments come from a physical imbalance. But a person is not only a physical entity. He has a spirit also. And he's an entire unit. And unfortunately, many times, a person can be physically well and spiritually sick. And if that's the case, it will not only affect him spiritually. Since the Almighty made a person as one unit, as a synthesis, it's impossible that there should be an imbalance in one area of the body, and it should not send ripples into the rest of the body, into the rest of the areas. Therefore, it's possible a person can be physically well but spiritually he's not what he should be. And not only does it have spiritual ramifications, but it can even have emotional and physical ramifications. And if that's the case, then Torah will cure him. Because there is nothing that can bring a person back to center, back to balance more than Torah. Illnesses come from deviations from the norm. The body always battles to maintain a norm. It has a normal heartbeat, a normal pulse rate, a normal blood pressure, a normal temperature, and will always battle to maintain that. And when there's a deviation from the norm, this causes illness. And so is it in every sphere, be it physical, be it emotional, be it mental, be it spiritual. And Torah is the greatest norm. Because what is norm? When something functions the way it was made to function. And the world was and the individual were made to function in accordance to the Torah. Therefore, two things the Gemara tells us. If a person is going away from the Yishuv, he's going away from the city. He's going out into the communities. He should have an escort. If he doesn't have an escort, then let him study Torah. And this will keep him linked to the center. And if he is not well, and physically he hasn't been able to do anything about it, then Yasuk b'Torah. Let him study Torah, and this will bring him back to the norm, back to a perfect balance, and marpe lechol bosar, and it will be a cure for him in his entirety. With this, now we can understand another Gemara. The Gemara tells us at the end of Masech Nido. Tana de Eliyahu. Eliyahu, the house of Eliyahu taught. Kol Hashena Halochas Muftach Leishu Ben Elam Haba. Whoever studies halachos all of the time, this is a guarantee that he will have a portion in the world to come. What are halachos? Halachos are the is Torah, but it's actually the perfection of the development of Torah law. When you study Torah, you study Mishnah and Gemara, so you have the entire debate and discussion. But as you develop it and you perfect it, then you come to its finality, and this is the halacha. If a person will always study these halachas, the total development of Torah law, then he will have a portion in the world to come. So in this the Gemara says, Shenemar halichas eilam al tikrei halichas eilam ela halochis eilam. As it states, halichas eilam, when a person will walk. And we see that the word halocha and the word halicha, the word of halocha and the word of halicha comes from the same source. Halicha means to walk. And halocha is the perfect development of the Torah law. Why is it from the same source? Because the halacha teaches a person how to walk in this world. You know, this world, all of the time, somehow it seems in our generation even more so than other times, but this is difficult for us to say because we've never lived other generations. But the world, all of the time, is very confusing. And very, very confusing during our times. And people have great difficulty in determining the way a person should go. People are constantly hammered and battered with sfeikas, with great doubts. Decision makings. What should they do? Tremendous confusion. This the sages always refers to as darkness. We live in darkness. It states Torah is or. Torah is a light. And it lights the way for a person. It's like a great torch. If you're walking on a road and you cannot see at night, you have a great torch, then it shows you the way. And this is why the halacha is called halicha, to walk. It shows you how to walk. And not only does it show you how to walk in this world, but it will show you how to walk to the next world. Because depending on what a person does in this world is determined whether he'll reach the next world or not. And therefore, the word halacha, which means the total perfection and development of the Shmaitzer, of the Torah debate, is the same word as halicha, to walk. It will guide a person. Therefore, it states, whoever will always study halachos, he will be a ben olam haba. He will have a portion, he will have a portion in the world to come, because it will guide him there. Now again, this brings home to us that we're not speaking here of just wisdom. We're not speaking here just of an ideology or a religion or some type of intellectual or academic exercise. But rather we're speaking of something which is a blueprint and a guide for a person through his entire life, in this world and the next. And it becomes a light to a person only if he constantly studies it. He has to amass a great deal of Torah. And he has to be always with it. Always with it. If he departs from it, then immediately he'll be engulfed with darkness. It's like you have person cannot say, well, I studied a lot of Torah. Or a little Torah also is good. What happens if a person is out in the country where it's totally dark and he has a torch with him, he lights it up, and then he turns it off? Can he say, well, I had the torch on before? When he had the torch on before, it was light. The minute he turned it off, he's engulfed by darkness again and he's lost. The darkness of this world, particularly our generation, is so strong that you need a great deal of light to penetrate it. And that light has to be a light of good quality, a good light, and constant light. And the minute you turn it off, then you're engulfed in darkness. And therefore we see that the halacha is, every day a person must study Torah, by day and by night. Lest you forget all of the days of your life. And the minute he ceases to learn, he will forget. Therefore, ad yemeischo, until the day of his death, he must study Torah. With this consistency and this continuity. And he must study with great labor and with great love, and hafeichpa, to turn it over and over, because it contains all. And if he does, it will show him the way. This is also the reason why that we find that this, what the Almighty gave us, is called Torah. Nothing else has this name, only Torah. The word Torah comes from the word leheiresom, to guide you. Because the only complete guide and total guide in this world is Torah. And therefore this is why it has this name, leheiresom, to direct you. to give another example of how great this mitzvah is and how dear it is to the Almighty. The Gemara brings the source of this is the Yishalmi in Masechet Peah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Verbrachya Verchaya, Tikvat Chumin. Chad Omar Kol Eilam Ein Shovel Ledav Echad Bidivrei Torah. V'Chad Omar Afilu Kol Mitzvesov Einam Shovim Ledav Echad Bidivrei Torah. One said that everything in this world does not equal one teaching of Torah. And the other said, not everything of this world does not equal one teaching of Torah, but even all of the mitzvahs, which are not from this world, but from another world, also do not equal one teaching of Torah. As it states, Kol hafeitzim lo yishvo bo. All of what the Almighty possesses, he says, does not equal one teaching of Torah. Sages tell us, Tev li, Teres picho, me alfe zov v'kesef. That the Almighty said, he said to David HaMelech, King David was very sad, he was very depressed, because he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. He wanted to build the temple. Why? In order that he could bring sacrifices by the thousands to the Almighty. And he was told that he will not build it. His son will build it. Ayetzi mechalotzecho. But you will not build it. And he was very depressed over this. And the Almighty told him, Tov li teres picho me'elef. Do not be depressed. The Torah of your mouth is dearer to me than a thousand sacrifices. So, osid shleime bincho lahakriv ala mizbech, that your son will bring, your son King Solomon will bring on the altar. He said, your Torah is greater. Don't be depressed. And kol hafeitzim la yishvo bo, not only everything in this world does not equal Torah, but even mitzvahs that come from another world also do not equal Torah. This is what the Almighty says. This is how great Torah is and what it means to Hashem when a person sits and studies Torah. Because of that, if a person is confronted with an opportunity to study Torah and an opportunity to do a mitzvah, if the mitzvah can be fulfilled by someone else, then he must study Torah, because the study of Torah is greater. Only if it's such a mitzvah that cannot be fulfilled by someone else, then he must stop studying and he must do the mitzvah. Now the reason why Torah is greater than everything else is because it's greater than everything in this world, because it comes from another world. But the reason why it's greater even than mitzvahs is because, like we mentioned, it's the blueprint of everything. It's the blueprint of mitzvahs also. Except then we could ask, if that would be the case, then why should we ever interrupt the study of Torah to do mitzvahs? It comes to building a sukkah, or hearing shofar, or taking the lulav of esrog. We should never interrupt study of Torah. Torah has its limitations. For example, the mitzvah of Torah is Ein Lehem Shir. There is no limitation, no minimum and no maximum. Some mitzvahs that once you do a certain amount, you fulfilled it and you cannot add more mitzvah. Torah, no matter how much you learn during the course of the day, is more mitzvah. And how little you learn is mitzvah. One word of Torah is a mitzvah by itself. For this reason, the Vilna Gaon says, think when a person sits down and he learns a daf gemara, a page of gemara, and every word of discussion is a mitzvah by itself, and every mitzvah
is equal to all of the other mitzvahs. Think of what a treasure house it is to sit down and study Torah for an hour, or to go to a shir. But we find Torah has its limitations. For example, if a person will not sleep at night, but he'll learn through the whole night, next day he'll find he won't be able to learn. Or if he doesn't eat, he'll find he's getting hungry, and it doesn't only affect his stomach, it'll start affecting his mind, and it'll start affecting his soul, and all of a sudden he finds he doesn't understand Torah. Or if he won't work for a living, he'll sit and learn, and all of a sudden he'll find that his money will run out, and he won't be able to study. The Gemara says, V'yosafta digonecho. Gemara says in Brochas, V'yosafta digonecho, that you shall take in your crops. From here we learn that you have permission was granted to stop studying Torah in order to take in your crops. The Gemara tells us that if somebody doesn't teach his son how to make a living, what will be? In the end, melasti mesabrias. He won't have a profession, he won't have a way to make a living. He'll come, he'll have no money, he'll go out and chalila, become a criminal. So, why does Torah have limitations? The answer to that is, Torah doesn't have limitations. There are no limitations to Torah. The person has the limitations. The proof that there's no limitations to Torah is because when it comes, for example, the mitzvah of sukkah. The mitzvah of sukkah, sitting in a sukkah, can be fulfilled only at a specific time during the year. If you sit in a sukkah during sukkahs, you have a great mitzvah. If you sit in the sukkah during Pesach, you have no mitzvah whatsoever. Matzah can be fulfilled only during specific times of the year. If you eat matzah during Pesach, it's a great mitzvah. If you eat matzah during Sukkot, you have no mitzvah. Shabbos, if you make Kiddush during the week, it's no mitzvah. If you make it on Shabbos, it's a mitzvah. So we see mitzvahs have specifications. Zman groma, for example, mitzvahs can only be fulfilled in certain times, under certain physical conditions. To fulfill the mitzvah of an esrog, you need a physical esrog. You need the physical material for sukkah. Mitzvahs are limited. Torah is not limited. You can study Masechta Sukkah, the Torah, the laws of sukkah. You can study during sukkahs and you can study during Pesach. It's the same mitzvah of Torah. The laws of matzah, you can study during sukkahs. And the Gemaras of Shabbos, you can study during the week. So what do we see? Because there's no limit to Torah. How can Torah be limited in this world when it's the blueprint of the world itself? The world is limited to Torah. Torah cannot be limited to the world. So Torah is unlimited. But we are limited. We are not angels, we are human beings. We are limited. This that we cannot study Torah 24 hours around the clock without stopping, it's not because Torah is limited, it's because we are limited. That's why we have to take care of our health. We have to, what the Gemara says, derech eretz, we have to take care of everything that's required of us because we are not angels, but because we are physical men. And within that confined structure, we have to study Torah. We are limited. And therefore, mitzvahs actually are closer to us than Torah, because Torah is a higher sphere. Torah is totally spiritual, while mitzvahs is something which is more from our physical world. And just like we have to live within the confines of a structure of derech eretz because we are physical human beings, we also have to live within the confines of a structure of physical mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are spiritual, but they can be fulfilled only physically. So we have to live confined in that structure. And that's why if there's a mitzvah which cannot be fulfilled, then we have to do it, and it takes priority over Torah. But if it can be fulfilled, then by others, then Torah will take its priority. So Torah is totally unlimited. But because of its enormous height, we can't always adapt it to our lives, to our earthly lives in this world. We have to adapt it accordingly. So this gives us an idea of the greatness of Torah. I want to conclude with one more Gemara, very interesting Gemara. And this gives us an idea of how much effort must one put forward for the study of this Torah. Now you all know that there are forces of good in this world and there are forces of evil. And it's zeh l'um zeh. Comparably will be the counterforce of evil. That means a person who doesn't try to do many good things, he won't have to worry too much about the Yetzer Hara. If he never tries to do anything good, the Yetzer Hara won't have to bother him. Because he doesn't have to worry about stopping him from doing what he wants to do. But people who try to do good things, and they will find a great force against them, a great counterforce against them. This is why we find that some of the greatest downfalls by Klal Yisrael were when they were just about doing some of the greatest achievements in the world. For example, as they were coming to receive the Torah on Har Sinai, it was at that time that they built a golden calf. Or when they were coming to conquer Eretz Yisrael, which was what the ultimate and the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of why he took them out of Egypt so I could give you the Torah and then give you the land which I promised to Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov. That's when it came to Meraglim, all of a sudden they decided they're going back to Egypt. It wasn't just all of a sudden. And this is a very important lesson for us that we should beware. That when we try to do something good, we should be aware there's going to be a counterforce of evil. That's how the Almighty created the world. And the greater the dimension of the good, the greater the dimension of the evil. So we must be aware. If the greatest mitzvah, kol hafeitzim la yishvu bo, greatest mitzvah that the Almighty looks at is the study of Torah, then a person should know that there will always be many, many reasons, good reasons, legitimate reasons, why he doesn't have time to study Torah. There will always be many, many good, legitimate reasons why he doesn't have the time or the energies or whatever it takes to study Torah. Because there can't be a greater mitzvah than that. Many people can't study Torah, they feel, because they're too poor. There are others who can't study Torah because they're too wealthy. There are others who can't study, and they're too wealthy, they have big companies, they're busy. There are others who cannot study Torah because they're too involved. They're very, very popular, and they're involved very socially with all types of commitments. They can't find time for Torah. So the Gemara speaks of this. The Gemara in Masechet Yoma, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, rabbis taught, Oni v'oshir v'rosho. A poor man, a wealthy man, and an evil man. Boin l'din, when they come into the next world, and they have to face the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Abez Dinoi, the Almighty, in His holy court. So each one will be judged accordingly, and we said that what will be Tchilas Dinai, what is the first thing that they'll be asked, is Osakta v'kovat itim l'teira. Did you study Torah? Le'oni aimrim lai, the poor man, they'll say to him, ibne male asakta b'torah. Why didn't you study Torah in this world? Yimeimer oni ha'yisi v'toru b'mezeinesai. He says, Ribbeinu shel Olam, how could I study Torah? You made me into such a poor man in this world where I had to work day and night. Where do I have time to study Torah? Aimrim Lai, they say to him, Klum Oni Hayisa Yesem Hil. It's impossible that you could have been poorer than Hillel, the great Hillel. Omru Lova Hillel Hazokin. Who was Hillel Hazokin? Hillel later on became one of the greatest sages of the Mishnah. Hillel Hayash Mainim Talmidim. Hillel had, this was from the famous Beis Hillel, he had 80 disciples. All of them were fit for the Shekhinah, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence to dwell upon them. The smallest was Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai we just learned about on Tisha B'Av. He was the one who negotiated a treaty with the Romans when they came to destroy Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. He was the leader of the generation. Lahiniach Klum states there was nothing that he didn't study. He studied the entire Torah. And he was the smallest of the 80 disciples. The greatest was Yonasan ben Uziel. When he used to study Torah and a bird would fly over his head, the bird would be consumed in fire, because such a fire came out from him when he was studying Torah. These were the disciples of Hillel, so this was Hillel. Now what was Hillel's early days? Hillel was very poor. Every day he would go out to labor and he would earn a tarpik. That was a certain coin. Half of it he would give. There was a guard at the Beis HaMedrash. There was a guard in front of the yeshiva that wouldn't let anyone in unless he paid some money. It went for the maintenance of the Beis HaMedrash. They had to have wood to burn in the fireplace and so forth. So half of his earnings every day he gave to the guard in the Beis HaMedrash. And the other half he supported his family with. Tamachas leimotza liistakir veleihinicha shema Beis HaMedrash liikonis. One day he went out to work and he couldn't find any work. He came back. He went to the Beis HaMedrash, and the Shema, the guard, wouldn't let him in. He had no money, he wouldn't pay. He couldn't pay, so he didn't let him in. All of it, Nitl v'yoshev al pi aruba. K'dei sh'ish ma'adiv elekim chayim mipi shamayev avtalyon. So, what did Hillel do? He went up to the roof, and he stood by the skylight. There was a skylight over the Beis HaMedrash, and he stood by the skylight so he could hear the shear from the two great Tanoim who lived at that time, and these were Shemayo and Avtalion. Om Reisa Ayem Erev Shabbos Hoyo, Ut Kufas Tefes Hoyeso. That day was Erev Shabbos, Friday, and it was Kufas Tefes. Tefes. Tefes is in January. In Eretz Yisrael and in Bovel, it's very, very cold. It's the coldest month of the winter. B'yorad Olav Shelig Min HaShemayim, and a heavy snow came down. While Hillel was listening to the shear, he didn't realize, but he was becoming covered with snow. Eventually he became covered with so much snow that he fell unconscious from frostbite. And he laid over the skylight. Kisholu Amud HaShachar, the next morning, when dawn came, and that was Shabbos, and Shemayin Avtalion came to the Beis HaMedrash, Omalei Shemayel Avtalion. Avtalion Ochi. So Shemayel said to Avtalion, B'chol Yem Abayis Meir. Every morning when we come into the Beis HaMedrash, the Beis HaMedrash is full of light. Hayem Ofel. And today it's dark. Shema Yem Amunan. Maybe it's all cloudy. Hitzitzo Einen the road Mus Odom Baruba. They looked up to the skylight and they saw the figure of a man laying over the skylight. Olu Motzo Lov Reim Shlei Shamash Shelek. They went up on the roof and they found that he was covered with 3 amas, that's about 5 feet of snow. It had snowed the whole night and the snow covered him. And he was covered with 3 amas of snow, that's 5 to 6 feet. Parku, they took shoveled off the snow, hechitzuhu, and they bathed him in warm water with Shabbos. And they cooked up water for him, besichuhu, and they rubbed him down good, veshivuhu kenegin amadura. And they sat him, they built a big fire for him, and they sat him next to the fire to throw him out. And when they understood what he was doing up there, he came to hear the shear because the guard wouldn't let him in. Omru Reizer Lechalalovis HaShabbos. They said that this is a person who's very, very worthy to desecrate Shabbos for. a person like this. Now that was Hillel. And he was a young man then. He might have even been a boy. And from him came the great Hillel of Shmeinim Talmidim, 80 great disciples. And the time of the Mishnah came from him. So when an Oni, a poor man, comes to Din, and he says, how could I study? I had no money. They say, you couldn't have been worse off with Hillel, and look at all of the Torah Hillel studied. Osher, now a wealthy man comes. And they ask him, why didn't you study Torah? He says, Osher Yisi, I was very wealthy. You gave me a lot of money. And I was wealthy, and I had a lot of big businesses and possessions and companies. And you know, the Mishnah says, Marbe Nechosi Marbe Daiga, the more you have, the more you have to look after it. I didn't have time. So they'll say to him, you couldn't have been more wealthy than a blazer. And Ablezer ben Harsum, it was said that his father left over to him 1,000 cities on the dry land and 1,000 boats, 1,000 ships on the sea. This is how wealthy Ablezer ben Harsum was. 1,000 cities he owned, he inherited, and 1,000 ships. And every day, to get away from it all, he used to put some flour, a sack of flour, on his shoulder, and he used to leave town. He'd go away for the day. So no one would bother him, and he would sit and learn the whole day. One day he was in a town and he used to disguise himself because he was so wealthy and he was so in demand and people all were coming to him. They wanted to do business with him. So he would disguise himself. One day he went to a city and they didn't recognize him and they thought that he was a person that's supposed to be working in the armies and he evaded the army or something like that. And they started to bother him and they wanted to put him to work. And he says, leave me alone so I can study Torah. Finally, by giving them a great sum of money, he got rid of them. Miyomov Leholach Veroi Son Eliyeshe Vese B'Teire Kol Hayom V'Chol HaLayla. Nobody ever saw him except studying Torah. This was what they say on Rav Lezer ben Harsum. Even though his father left him 1,000 cities on the land and 1,000 ships on the sea. So when the person comes and says, I had too much work to do, they bring the blesser. Rosha Imrim Lai. Now a Rosha comes. Mipnei L'malai Asak B'Teira. Why didn't you study Teira? Oma Noha Yisi V'Trudi B'Yitzri. He said, you made me very handsome. He says, the man says to the Almighty, you gave me so many talents. And you made me so handsome. I became so popular and so successful. I was a successful musician and I was a successful actor. And I was in demand in Hollywood and in Las Vegas and in Sun City. And everybody wanted to know me. And socialites and governments and everyone. Who has time to learn? I didn't have time to learn, and I didn't have time to free myself from Avedus. It was not my fault. If this is what he'll say, Imrim Lei Klum Noa Hoyiso Me Yosef. No, there was no one more handsome and more popular and more in demand than Yosef HaTzadik. Right? Yosef became the king of Egypt. Yosef had so much good advice to give. Kings listened to him. Egypt became the wealthiest land in the world because of Yosef. And Yosef had such a beauty that it states that when he used to walk down the streets of Egypt, women would climb on the walls and throw their jewelry at him in order that they should distract him in order to gaze at him. Omru alov al Yosef HaTzadik, and still he was known as Yosef HaTzadik. He was Yosef the righteous. He never did Averis, and he studied Torah. States the same Yosef that studied Torah by his father in Yaakov studied Torah in Egypt. In Egypt, in the dungeons and in the palaces. And taught Torah to his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, that when Yaakov came, he said, Ephraim and Manasseh, Keruvim, Shimon, Yuli, these are equal to my 12 sons. It said on Yosef HaTzadik, Bechol Yem V'Yem HaYiseh Eishes Fotifar Meshad Losei B'dvorim. The wife of his master, Fotifar, she was so entranced with him that she constantly tried to entice him. And every day, she would come to entice him, Begodim Shelof Shelay Shachris Lelof Shel Arvis, Begodim Shelof Shelay Arvis Lelof Shel Shachris. What she wore one morning, she didn't wear that evening. She changed in the evening. Next morning she changed into something else, and the next evening she changed into something else. He never saw her wearing the same thing twice. She was a very wealthy woman. And this was all to entice him. And she kept coming to him. And she threatened him. She said, if you won't listen to me, I'll have you thrown in the dungeon. Yosef said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Matir Asurim. He releases the prisoners. She says, I'll have you cut down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Zekev Kefufim. He lifts up those who are cut down. Areini Masame Seinecho, I'll have you tortured and your eyes taken out. Hashem Pekeach Ibrim, Yosef said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives sight to the blind. She gave him 1,000 pieces of silver. He was not interested. So no one was more beautiful or more popular or more involved in demand than Yosef. And still he was Yosef HaTzadik. Therefore the Gemara says, Hillel Mechai V'Sa'anim, Rav Lezer Ben Chasim Mechai V'Sa'ashirim, Yosef Mechai V'Sa'arashoyim. Hillel will be the one who will stand up against those who say they were too poor to study Torah. Rav Lezer Ben Chasim will be the one who will stand up against those who say that they were too wealthy to study Torah. And Yosef HaTzadik will be the ones who will say, to stand up against those who say that they had too much Yetzer Hara, they had too many good things in this world to misdirect them, and therefore they could not study Torah. And this is what it states, Tchilas Dinoi, when a person comes to the next world, this will be the discussion. So from these various sources that we had time to quote this evening, we see, firstly, what is Torah? It is not merely some type of intellectual study or some type of academics, but Yistakel bi ubara alma, the Kodesh Baruch Hu looked into me, and from me he created the entire world. It encompasses the entire world, and therefore it's a direction for a person in this world, and not only in this world, but how to reach the next world. And it contains all. And therefore it is so dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where it is greater, theoretically it has a higher level than all of the other mitzvahs, with no limitations whatsoever. We have limitations, but the Torah is unlimited. We have limitations because we are earthly beings, so we have to conduct ourselves accordingly. But the Torah has no limitations. And priority must be given to this mitzvah at the top of the list. But, as we mentioned, there will be an equal force, counter force against it. So only with great effort, great sacrifice, can a person come to the study of Torah. We hope that Torah is something that will grow by all of us every day throughout our lives, from one level to another, from strength to strength.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.